Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the start of our liturgical year, and it is 4 weeks of anticipating Jesus' birth, and it's our season to get ready for Christmas. But our readings seem kind of out of place. I mean, I want the stories of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the angel Gabriel coming down to meet Mary and the trip to Bethlehem. But we have these readings, and they're kind of off-putting. I mean, is there any good news of glad tidings in these readings? I mean, the Isaiah reading and the gospel are a little bit scary. You know, God's angry, and then the destruction, the sun and the moon fading. It seems odd. These readings are considered apocalyptic literature or stories of end times, and they're full of foreboding messages and frightful images. And I don't think they're to be taken literally. I think these stories are symbolic, and they're used to convey a message to us. And it's that our world, the world as we know it, it's going to stop. But then there'll be a new order, a new heaven, and a new earth. And considering all the problems of our world today, that sounds pretty good to me. You know, we're all aware of the troubles and the sorrows of this world, and that God has a plan to restore this place. That is good news. Well, in the reading from Isaiah, it sounds like God is angry. Well, and why not? The people sin against God and against each other, and yet, as the prophet says in the very last section, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember our sins forever. Now consider, we are all your people. And as we know from many stories in the Old Testament, over and over again, God might be disappointed and God may be angry, yet he always restores his people. God remains faithful as his people continue to mess up. When I was a student at UC Irvine, I spent a lot of time in the studio arts department. My medium was clay. And I understand very well the analogy of we are the clay and you are the potter. Clay is both incredibly difficult to work with, and yet it's forgiving, as it can always be reworked into another piece. In fact, clay needs to be worked and worked, or they call it wedged, before you build with it. I mean, you take a couple pounds of clay and you slam it down on the table, and then you just start working it like you're kneading dough. And even the best worked clay can crack or slump. But with clay, you don't throw it out. You just keep working it. So being considered clay with God as our potter, that soothes my soul. I mean, I see this relationship between us and God, the clay and the potter, as intimate and messy, and it takes a lot of effort. And, you know, if things don't look right, well, the potter gets to start over again until the potter is satisfied. God, our potter, creates and recreates with us. And I am counting on that. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that human beings have always struggled and have failures. So the need to be reworked and made good again never ends. And there will be times when it seems like God is angry or absent, and it can seem like we are non-stop sinners. Let's be real. Most of us have sinned or missed the mark already this morning. We missed the mark of loving God and loving our neighbors. Even if it was contained completely on the inside, you know, in your thoughts or in a flash of anger or jealousy or nastiness that we didn't express, but it was there. Coming together here on a Sunday morning reminds us that even with all the challenges we face, with all the sinning that it is so easy to do, we can turn to God and with God's help, rework ourselves to live according to God's will. And we know God's will is to love each other. Potter and clay is such a reassuring and beautiful analogy of our relationship with God. Now, our gospel is another example of that kind of end times speaking. And for Jesus, it is. It is the end of one of his longest sermons that he's giving to his closest friends on the Mount of Olives, just across from Jerusalem, a couple days before his death. And Jesus is referring back to Isaiah and other Old Testament books for emphasis in this sermon of his. You know, he's aware of his impending death, that the death of the temple that Jesus is. And when life is chaotic or seems out of control, this form of speech makes a lot of sense. It's soothing sometimes in an odd way to hear that things could be much worse, especially when it's followed by a promise of something better. Now, some of our brothers and sisters like to focus on the end times and apply biblical prophecies to the things that are going on today. And our tradition resists that. You know, we view that kind of end times or apocalyptic Bible stories as a literature form. And it's not necessarily the exact prediction of what exactly is going to happen, because we don't know. But we read these stories knowing what the purpose is. Those stories shake us up. And if you listen carefully to the gospel, it's telling us to put our confidence in God and not to worry, because God is the creator and God knows what's going on, even in the midst of challenging and chaotic times. And Jesus says, don't worry about the hour or the day when any of this is going to happen. He says, don't worry. Well, why? Because something better will be brought about. Jesus does say to be alert, to stay awake, to keep watch, to be looking for God's presence and living with anticipation that God does interact in our lives requires that we pay attention to the world around us. Advent is a time that's a gift to us. It's a time to intentionally work towards increasing our mindfulness, to be actively aware of all the holy encounters that we might have with each other, with those in need. And it's a time to pay attention to invitations to co-create with God, especially when life seems chaotic or uncertain. So like Jesus says, stay awake. Wait in hope for our Savior. Pay attention to God's promises that things will not always be the way they are. Something better is on the way. And don't worry about it. Jesus promises that when things are bad and all things are hopeless, there's still hope. There's a new order in view, and that's the kingdom of God, when God reigns, and when we're all doing God's will. And all that gets to start with a faithful, brave young woman who paid attention to God's presence in her life and said yes to a crazy request from an angel about having a baby. And we get to start reading that next week. Amen.